The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Someone's knocking at the door.
Okay, we thank God for his word. Again, we're grateful for restoration. We thank God for the testimonies that have already begun to come forth. And we're confident that this is just the beginning. What God has started, he will continue to do more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we talk about walking in restoration, God has done it. God will continue to do his part. But we always have a responsibility. So we'll take a scripture from the book of Acts chapter 2. We'll jump a couple of verses. We'll read from verse 1 to 4. We'll jump to 14 to 18. Then we'll jump from 37 to 41. It says, we're reading from New Living Translation. It says, On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. The ability that God has placed upon your lives, it will continually yield fruits in the name of Jesus. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In these days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." The Spirit, because God has brought forth an outpouring into our lives again, we will do such that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, or men imagined, in the name of Jesus. And from verse 37 says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and your children and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from the crooked generation, from this crooked generation." Those that believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Hallelujah. If that is not restoration, I wonder what is. God says, he promised right from time that he will reconcile his people back to himself. That is restoration. Now, I mean, this scripture we just read, if we remember the story of the crucifixion, Peter, this is Peter that, we'll say Peter and the other disciples, rather, they had gone through what you would call seasons of ups and downs. I mean, they were with Jesus 1 minute, they thought that this is it, and then the next minute, there was crucifixion, and everybody scattered. You know? Now, 2 weeks ago, Papi was teaching about restoring purpose. So apparently it was clear that Peter had trouble understanding his purpose before Jesus showed himself to them after he had gone back to the profession he knew, you know? But Jesus showed Peter unconditional love. The unconditional love of God that brings and sustains restoration. And I pray that we will continue to experience this unconditional love in Jesus' name. I would say the day of Pentecost was rather a day of restoration. It had started already. The disciples had begun to see and understand what God was doing in their lives and through them. But on that day of Pentecost, it was like a new chapter was opened in their lives and in the lives of God's people. You see, the thing is, the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary paid for our sins, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit was the final piece of the restoration process of reconnecting man to God, where the heart and desires of God is revealed directly to man. That day of Pentecost, it was a new chapter. They had already understood what was going on, but that was a different level on that day. The scripture said he will do such that eyes had not seen. People had never seen such in their lives before. And we thank God that we are part of this restoration process. We thank God that he has restored us already. So, from the scripture we've read, I'll just quickly jump into three things to note from the day of Pentecost. Three things. And the first is identify opportunities. If you really want to see, you have to open your eyes. Opening your eyes goes beyond your physical eyes. The Holy Spirit gives you vision beyond what your eyes can see. But you have to open your eyes. You have to be alert to see the opportunities God has put in front of you. You have to be spiritually alert. God has restored us. When God led his children in the wilderness and gave them manna, he dropped it on their feet. He didn't put it in their mouth. And when they entered the promised land, the manna stopped. But they entered the land, they did not enter the land to plant. They entered that land in the season of harvest. Anybody that cannot identify what is edible and what is not edible when God brings into a season of harvest, that person needs to learn a new thing. We have to be alert. You see, sometimes when God brings restoration, they come as opportunities, not as a finished product. I pray that God will show us the opportunities in the name of Jesus. You see, on that day of Pentecost, the ability to speak in tongues that was given by the Holy Spirit wasn't a coincidence. It happened. They were gathered. If you remember, after the crucifixion, there was a lot of trouble. They were hiding. There was a lot of uncertainty. And then Jesus told them to wait for it. And they were gathered in an upper room. And then the Spirit came. The Spirit did not come quietly. The scripture said there was a loud noise. That wasn't a coincidence. That noise raised the curiosity of every other person that wasn't part of that group that was waiting for the Holy Spirit. It aroused their curiosity. They got interested. These people began to speak in tongues. They had never seen such a thing before. I guess at this point, Peter was no longer a baby in these things. Peter could see what was going on. Peter realized that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit they had just received was the beginning of a lot of attention and curiosity. Before then, it was about rumors. Oh, there was a prophet. They said he died. He died. They said he had risen. One thing after another. But on that day, God opened a new chapter. And Peter saw the opportunity. The atmosphere was charged. The crowd had gathered already. You can imagine what it would have taken them to organize a crusade. It wasn't a coincidence. God had organized the crusade ahead of time. People were gathered in the place. The Holy Spirit had orchestrated it. Some thought, hey, these ones must be drunk, 9 a.m. You know, when God does certain things, everybody has their own opinion. The doubters, even when they do not have an explanation, will still say, there must be something we are not seeing. You know? You know? Peter saw an opportunity. This is Peter that was scared at a point. This is Peter that went back to his boats to try and catch fish. But on that day, Peter was not afraid. On that day, Peter was alert. Peter could have told them, let's keep it down, let's keep it down. There are people outside, you know. You know, we are still not safe. That wasn't the Peter that had been restored. The Peter that had been restored could see the opportunity. You know? The Peter that had been restored was not worried about what people were thinking. He was more interested in the opportunity to make a difference in the world. He was more interested in his restored purpose in Christ. You see, he could have actually been embarrassed when people began to pass those comments. Not our new Peter. Not our restored Peter. You know? You know, the thing is, and in our everyday life, sometimes these things happen. You know, some people are actually shy to pray for their food in public. When you go to a nice fancy restaurant or dinner or placed on the high table, ha, when they bring the food, some people will just quickly mumble, you know? You know? God will help us. But at home, they will almost call for offerings. Eh? Be kabashing and binding over the glass of water, you know? So, I mean, it happens. It happens. I pray that we will never be ashamed to be who God has called us to be. Peter saw an opportunity for a great harvest. He saw an opportunity to preach to a large crowd. He understood God had just set up a crusade for them. And he took the opportunity. At this point, I mean, not just Peter. The scripture said, Peter and the 11 stepped forward. 11, yes, they had replaced Judas at that time. You know? And these were not the same guys that couldn't understand what Jesus was telling them in the past. You know? Remember when Jesus fed was it 5,000? And Jesus said, feed them. And they were saying, if we work for months, we have to work for months to feed these people. No, those guys had been restored. This was a new set of people, grown men, working in their purpose. Their vision was no longer limited to the physical. They could see things in the spiritual. Therefore, they took the opportunity. They took the opportunity. They began to see opportunities for a harvest of souls. Every time a crowd of people gathered out of curiosity for the working of the Holy Spirit. Because you could see that after that time, several times where Peter and John met the crippled man, that was another opportunity. People were gathered. This is another opportunity for harvest of souls. They kept going on and on and on. And I pray that because we have been restored, we will see the opportunities God has put before us in every area of our lives in the name of Jesus. You know, their eyes were open and their sight restored to see the possibility where there used to be limitations. Amen. I pray that the things that have intimidated you and caused you to worry in the past will become stepping stones in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's quickly go back a bit. Let's look at Joseph. That's one character you can never get enough of. In Genesis 41, I'll read from verse 12 to 13 from the Voice translation. It says, there was a young Hebrew boy there with us, a servant of the captain of the guards. When we told him our dreams, he interpreted them for us. Things turned out exactly as he had interpreted them. I was restored to my office and the baker was impaled. Now, this is Joseph. The story of Joseph. We all know when Pharaoh eventually had to bring Joseph forth. Small boy, Joseph. Before he was taken into captivity, all he had was his dreams, the love of his earthly father, and he understood that God had a purpose for him. Several years down the line, Joseph in prison. Opportunities. This was the cupbearer telling Pharaoh, this is what happened, so I'm sure that guy should be able to. Remember, he was talking about Joseph. The cupbearer, apparently, I wouldn't say he was a believer. What he knew was Joseph. And when they brought Joseph forth, verse 16, Joseph said, I cannot do this, but God will answer Pharaoh's request and relieve your concerns. Joseph was a young man, captive in a foreign land, yet he saw the opportunity to introduce his God to Pharaoh first. He introduced his God to Pharaoh first. It's not me, you know? I pray that we would always see opportunities in Jesus' name. So, like I said, three things. One, we identify opportunities. Second thing is, be bold. We need to be bold. God has restored you. They that are with you are more than they that are against you. You know? Peter spoke up. Apparently, this wasn't the first time Peter was preaching. Remember, Jesus sent out the disciples at one time in pairs, and they went out preaching and all that. But I am certain this was the first time Peter would address such a crowd. You know? And he was bold about it. The first of his many public engagements. It was a whole new level of boldness for Peter. The same Peter that had gone through those seasons of despair, seasons of guilt, seasons of lack of conviction and reaffirmation. Lack of conviction. Same way, not just in things of the spirits. In our lives, there are times, people have gone through stuff. For some people, they are afraid to try again because of the things that have happened, because of the denials they have received. A lot of people had gotten to that point where they no longer trust what they are even hearing. Say, God said it, but how come it hasn't happened the way he said it? There's a time and a season for everything. And the set time to bless his people is now. Be bold. You know? He had gone through all that. And then he went through a season of reaffirmation where Jesus even made him breakfast. You know? And on that day of Pentecost, Peter began a new walk Pentecost. He had just seen God do what people had not seen before. Because the thing is, when God does a new thing in our lives, a new thing that makes people take notice and begin to wonder what's going on, that is the time to be bold. That is the time to declare it. The first testimony, right? Said she began to wonder, was my case not called? She could have given up. Oh, thank God for grace. You know, the thing is, when God does it, yes, he does it out of love for us. His love is unconditional. But the fact is, every manifestation of the power of God in our life is for his glory. So as you boldly do that which you ought to do, you need to remember that yes, you will get the benefits, but it is for the glory of God. So if you think, if for some reason, for some strange reason, there is this tiny voice that is saying you do not qualify, remember that, okay, fine, even if I don't qualify, but it is for the glory of God. You know? Because sometimes we're actually too timid and we'll miss the opportunity to boldly channel our life testimonies. We miss that opportunity to channel it to the glory of God. I pray that even as we become alert this season, even as our eyes will be open, we will no longer be timid in the name of Jesus. Fact is, every time God brings restoration, it's an opportunity to boldly evangelize to the captive audience. When God does it, it is something that people have not seen before. They begin to wonder. There is an opening. There is a gap. By the grace of God, we'll be bold enough to take that gap, to fill that gap with God's word. It's just like baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, you believe. You're a believer. You know, the word of God says that he has given unto you freely. But you find out that for a lot of people, when they desire the gift of speaking in tongues, they are saved, but they are too shy to open their mouth and speak. They need to vet what is going to come out first. They are too shy and thinking, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I make a fool of myself? I pray that for everyone that desires the gift of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, you will not be shy anymore. Because our God has promised, and because you have been reconciled and restored, you will open your mouth in boldness and you will speak by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We will be bold, you know? Because the thing is, you will not realize how boldly you can speak about Jesus until you open your mouth and you begin to talk. That initial step is always you take the step of faith and you find out that, really, what was I worried about? God is in control. You see, when God brings revelation, it takes boldness to speak and it takes wisdom to deliver the message appropriately. I pray that God will not only give you the boldness to speak, God will give you the wisdom to say the right things at the right time. Amen. When we talk about boldness, let's look at, from the book of Daniel, Daniel 2:27, you know? When Daniel revealed the king's dream to him, he declared it clearly where it was coming from. Not my God. It's not me. Joseph, same thing. Joseph was not afraid to upset Pharaoh's sensibilities. Daniel was not afraid to upset the king's sensibilities. A lot of times, we don't want to upset people, you know? So we don't know if this person believes in God, so we have to tone it down a little. You know where it has come from. You know who your source is. Sometimes we mask it under Christianese. We mask it under street slang. Nah, God, it is God. You will not be afraid to upset anybody's sensibilities if they do not like the fact that you have a God who has and is still doing all that for you. Well, I could say those days for their pocket. They can take it or they can take it. You see, many times when we get the opportunity to introduce our God during a discussion in the workplace or in business, you know, especially when it's with people we are trying to curry favor from, we tend to be silent about our source, you know, so we don't upset their sensibilities, you know. You've been going for vigil for 5 straight days and God has done it. You show up and say, well, or you say, nah, God, I haven't slept. I pray God will help us. We have to be bold. You know, God will give us that boldness. Even in worship. It reminds me of this. There's this joke. Well, this story, whether it's a story or it's a joke, I don't know. But the fact is, I mean, there was this group of, you know, those guys they used to call SU in those days, in the 80s. Said they were going to for an event in the Niger Delta. You know, in those areas, you can travel on boats for 45 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours. And believers, they were singing, clapping, dancing in the boat, charged atmosphere. And then somebody raised the song, Jesus power, super power, yeah, people were jumping. We know that song now, B. Is there anybody that doesn't know that song? When it reached time for powerless power. Somebody said, Mommy, what a power. Everybody quiet. Even the drummer stopped drumming. The lead guy was wondering, what's going on here? Dead silence. Then Ovie, the bold guy, you know? You know how those guys can. Very bold guy, Ovie. Ovie said, I beg, oh. Now on top, what are we there, oh? I don't want to annoy anybody. God will help us. We shall be bold in Jesus' name. Whether we are on top of water, we will declare the glory of the Lord. I pray that as we walk in restoration, God will give us the boldness to speak. God will give us the wisdom to say the right things at the right time to the right audience, whether they be kings or they be governors or they be presidents or they be your bosses, whoever it is. You will be bold to tell them that, look, I waited for 21 days. We were on that mountain. If we look at other religions, they don't. We know where the power is. Why should we be timid? The Lord will help us. Amen. So, by the grace of God, we'll identify opportunities. We will be bold. And thirdly, expect results. You see, the Holy Spirit will provide the solution to the issues that you boldly speak about. And He will deliver the results. Because we have been restored. And in God, there are levels. From one level to another level of restoration in Jesus' name. On the day of Pentecost, it was apparent Peter had come to understand what Jesus was telling them before His crucifixion. In John, let's read it from John 15, verse 26 to 27, from the Voice translation. It says, I will send a great helper to you from the Father, one known as the Spirit of Truth. He comes from the Father, and will point to the truth as it concerns me. But you will also point others to the truth about my identity, because you have journeyed with me since this all began. The Lord will use. I mean, you are not. You've not been waiting on God for nothing. The results, the things that you have brought before Him, expect the results. You know, Jesus told them this before the crucifixion. On the day of Pentecost, Peter obviously would have understood that this is what he was talking about. He saw the opportunity. He spoke boldly. And I dare say there's no way Peter would have thought that this would just pass. He apparently spoke with an expectation of harvest. You know, Peter had, he had just experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what was he talking about? You remember, the word of God said the Holy Spirit will give us utterance. The Holy Spirit will remind us of God's word. And Peter was quoting Joel chapter 2, verse 28. He understood that scripture said that he will pour out the Spirit on all flesh. Now, he wasn't just trying to explain what they had just experienced. Peter was in full evangelism mode, preaching salvation and expecting results. In this crusade, Peter knew that something must happen here today. You know? And in Acts chapter 2, it says that Peter's words pierced their hearts and they began to look for a solution. They were looking for a solution, and the same Peter had the answer to the solution they were looking for. The scripture says about 3,000 gave their life to Christ that day. About 3,000 people were baptized and gave their life to Christ. I don't know how many people were in that place that day, but 3,000. The word of God says even one gives their life to Christ, there's a party in heaven. 3,000. God is faithful. You see, I pray. You see, the thing is, God will not only give you the grace to see the opportunities and the boldness to take action, but He will give you the right answers to provide the right solutions. Let's take a look at Joseph again, our brother Joseph. Young guy, imprisoned. Young guy, good behavior, still imprisoned, you know. And then interpreted dreams, forgotten about, served more time in prison, you know. Was still chopping beans in prison after all he did for the cup holder. I mean, you know, a lot of times we are always looking for connections, you know. I would expect that in that scenario, the cup holder to the king is one of the closest people to the king. If you know the cup holder, things should be happening for you now. Same way today, if you have somebody in president, some people have somebody that is a PA to the TA of the SA of somebody in the vice president's office, and they are running things. Joseph helped the cupbearer, and he was still chopping beans after how many years. That could have changed his mindset. Joseph should have just showed up, interpreted the dream, and said, "Can I go?" Really? He could have just told them what it meant, and that would be it. After all, that is what Pharaoh was looking for. But I guess Joseph was not only alert and bold, he checked it out that it's payday. In Genesis 41, I'll read verse 33, then I'll jump to 37 to 41 from the Voice translation again. It says, "My advice is that Pharaoh should select someone who is wise and discerning and put him in charge of the land of Egypt during this time." He had interpreted the dream. Which one is your advice? You get? It's like small boy that they just brought from jail to come and give solution and is advising the king. The guy was bold. And he knew that this was payday. Verse 37, Pharaoh and all his advisors liked Joseph's suggestions. Pharaoh to his advisors, is there anyone else you know like Joseph who has the spirit of God within him? That God that Joseph had told him about. Then to Joseph, he says, since God has shown all of this to you, I can't imagine anyone wiser and more discerning than you. Therefore, you will be in charge of my household. All of my people will report to you and do as you say. Only I, because I sit on the throne, will be greater than you. I hereby appoint you head over all the land of Egypt. As you say, Joseph, hammer. The guy was alert. The guy was bold. And when his opportunity came, he did the job. And then he went the extra mile. You know, a lot of times, we don't go the extra mile because we're not interested. We don't go the extra mile because we're only interested in what I want. Now, just give me this one. Now. Apparently, Joseph wanted to be free. But I guess he realized that, hey, who knows? Maybe he wasn't even expecting, but hey, what does it hurt? Let it go. Say it out. Give the advice. Sometimes you may not really be expecting anything. But you just go the extra mile because if you have it, why are you hiding it? Why are you holding it? Be generous with your time. Be generous with that which God has blessed you with. Because if you don't bring it, somebody else will still bring it. So I pray that because God has restored us, we will take our responsibility serious and we will align our walk with Him. Just like Peter and the other disciples, they were alive and alert to the working of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We should learn to identify our opportunities. We should be bold. And we should expect results. That is walking in restoration. So quickly, I'll just share a few things on habits that we could nurture, learn. If we're not doing it before, learn it. If you are doing it before, improve on it. As we walk in restoration and align with God, we will ensure the following. Number one, don't forget where God has brought you from and where He has taken you through. Don't forget. Because He said He will restore the years you have lost. He didn't say we erase your memory. There's a reason God took you through that. For some people, it's just for their testimonies. For some people, it's training ahead of time. Whatever it is your responsibility to align with God. But the fact is, you should not forget where you are coming from. Because remembering helps us show gratitude to God. Psalm 103, there are so many psalms. Remembering how God has helped us in the past helps us go through tough times. Because really, there are things that you go through and it feels like this is it. And then the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance. You know? There are battles you go through. And you remember Psalm 124. If not the Lord who had been on our side. If God had not brought you that far, you would not even be facing this new challenge. And think about it. God will not bring you that far just because He doesn't do things by coincidence. God is deliberate. Remember, do not forget. Always give gratitude to God. Second thing, habits we should nurture. Make an impact. Be deliberate about making an impact. There are things that may not concern you. There are things that you don't really have to do anything about. And for some of those things, whether you do something about it or you do not do anything about it, it doesn't change anything from you. So why can you not do something about it so it makes a difference in the life of somebody else? It's not about giving everything you have, giving all your money out. But, you know, there are certain things that people will need, that you can afford. And if you do something about it, you wouldn't lose anything. But some people say, God has blessed me. Oh, these people, I don't think this one prays enough. Those are the kind of people that you know that their hand is. Those kind of guys, people that if they use their hand to carry water like this, they can reach each boat, the water will still be there. The more you struggle with that water in your hand, if you want to build muscles, go to the gym. You know? God has not elevated you just because he wants you to enjoy yourself alone. Yeah, God has blessed you to be a blessing to generations. You know? God is big on our enjoyment. He doesn't want you to miss out on anything. Yes, God wants us to be comfortable. He wants us to enjoy ourselves in him. But most importantly, God wants us to make an impact in the lives of others. By the grace of God, you pray. Yes, pray for the person. If you can afford it, don't tell somebody that is hungry that it is well. It is well. The person knows it is well. That's why they came to you. Now, this is not a license for people to begin to hustle people. You should be able to be a blessing to people. Don't think that God has put people around me that can bless me, so I'm sorted. But really, make an impact in the lives around you. Because the thing is, think about it. You didn't get where you are today because you are the smartest person. You are not the smartest person in the room. God put people on your path that gave a helping hand. God gave you the opportunity to stand on shoulders so that you can get to where you are. And there are still shoulders God has lined up. You know? For some people, you didn't choose the family you were born into. Even if nobody else has helped you, just your family, you did not choose that family. God put you there. You could have been born in one family where... You know the meaning of when they say, alarm the blue. You wake up in the morning, you are hearing the alarm. It's not coming from outside, your stomach. You know, you can recollect and say, I studied for so many nights. I burnt the midnight oil. And today, this is the fruit. Praise God, you worked really hard. But the truth is, it doesn't change the fact that nobody is self-made. It is God that made you. It is God that put people in your path. Make an impact. If God had not intervened. You know, Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. When God has placed you in a position to make a difference, make a difference. Because everything is still temporary. There's something I always tell, look, you see people in positions of where they can help. I'm not talking of cutting corners or doing anything illegal. I'm talking about helping genuinely and legally. And they lock themselves in their own silos and say, I don't want anybody to give me headache. Then when they have retired, they tell you that the mistake I made. I beg you. Were you sleeping before? You see, it happens all the time. The truth is, when people show up, genuinely just need a shoulder to step up. If you don't do it, God will still do it. You may not lose anything, though. But that person will get to where God is taking them to. And sometimes you will be at par, or the person will even pass you. And you'll be saying, you are not advising the person, don't make the mistakes I make. Pack your face. No, but by the grace of God, we will not ignore people. But the thing is, just make an impact. God has placed you there. Whether you do it or not, God will bless who he chooses to bless. You're either part of it or you decide not to be part of it. For some people, it's just information. For some people, it's just a referral. For some people, it's just to tell them that they are hiring in my office. Say, no, I don't want them to spoil my name. Yeah. Third thing, study and trust in the word. Let the word of God be your daily guide. You know, Psalm 119 verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, it says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. The thing is, the word of God lights up your path. When he say lights up your path, the path can be straight, the path can have bends, but the point is you see beyond where your feet is. You can see ahead. That is the word of God lighting up your path. But even at that, for every step you take, that same word of God is light to your feet. If you walked in a dark place before, if you raise the torch, even if you are driving, if there's street light, you can see ahead, right? But if you don't have headlight, you may not see that thing that is just in front of you. Let the word of God be your guide. There's nothing that's not found in the word of God. That's the truth. Now, to be able to survive in a society, you need an education. Whether it's formal or informal, you need an education. Even the stark illiterate has some form of education, or else they won't be able to communicate. Let the word of God be your guide. Every day, you already know the path. You know the plan, but still bring it before God, you know? And fourthly, fellowship. Because the truth is everything revolves around fellowship. Fellowship is what God wants with us. And that is why Jesus came to pay the ultimate price so we can be reconciled with God. John 3:16. I'm sure we all know that scripture. That the reason for fellowship. Restoration is a byproduct of fellowship. You have to pay attention, not just to the corporate altar. Thank God for all the wonderful people. I mean, you are here this morning, not because you have to, but because you understand. You know, first, because you can, because not everybody can actually physically be here, and because you also understand the principle of corporate fellowship. Pay attention to your corporate fellowship. And pay attention to your personal fellowship with God. Corporate altar, personal altar. Corporate altar, personal altar. Personal altar, corporate. I mean, chicken before egg or egg before chicken. Which one? Pay attention to your altar. You see, altar must be established. And in the case of where the person has stumbled, the altar should be repaired for fellowship to exist. Restoration starts reconciliation, and it's sustained in fellowship with God. In the name of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you see, reconciliation with God is equal to restoration. And like the definition we've always worked with since the year began, restoration equals taking you to where you ought to be, not where you were before. The thing is, where you ought to be means where you ought to be. It means you have not been there before. So you will not know how to navigate that space without the Holy Spirit to guide you. God will promote you. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't guide you, if you do not find yourself in that place of fellowship, then it means you are taking a chance. The thing is, for the Holy Spirit to guide you, there has to be a relationship. Think about it. There has to be a relationship. So I pray for those that have broken relationships with the Holy Spirit, you will be reconciled, the relationship will be restored, and God will continue to guide you in the name of Jesus. So I want us to just, even as I step away from the altar, I want to just take a moment and reflect on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just take a moment and reflect on that relationship.
With our heads all still bowed down, take a moment and reflect on your relationship with God. You know, because one of the things we have learned today is fellowship is what God wants with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to fellowship with you. You're out there listening to this message and you're saying to yourself, I do not have this fellowship, but I want to have this fellowship with God. And if you're here, just as we have learned, your altar, personal time with God, needs to be repaired. Go before God now and just speak to Him. Speak to Him, because fellowship is what God wants with you and I. Fellowship is what He wants. Go before Him and just speak to Him. Father, we thank You for everyone who is committing to You today. We ask in the name of Jesus that the blood of Jesus will cleanse them from every sin in the mighty name of Jesus. As they have surrendered to You today, Lord, we ask that Your Spirit will fill their hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, they will not go back to the old ways. They will continue to walk the straight path in the mighty name of Jesus. If there is anyone here that their altar needs to be reignited, today, Lord, we ask that even as they commit to You, Lord, that You will reignite that fire in their altar. In the mighty name of Jesus, let all the honor and glory be unto You and You alone. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we can put our hands together for Jesus. For Jesus.